Hello, I wanted to take a moment to thank you for listening, and also to explain why you might hear ads like this before, during, or even after an episode. We're a small but mighty team here at Realm, and to help fund our shows, we promote products or services that we think you'd enjoy from a variety of sponsors. If any of our ads interest you, one of the best ways to support us is by visiting the link or using the promo code in the ad. It's pretty much a win-win since you can get some great deals and we can keep making awesome shows like this one. You can also visit realm.fm/partners for more information about our sponsors and how to access the different promotions. Thanks again for joining us in our corner of the universe. Listen away.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Hi, this is Elise Edgerton.
I whisper into the intercom for the third time. The elderly woman on the other end keeps telling me she didn't order Chinese. And frankly, I'm very frustrated right now that Victor and Jenna don't have the good sense to live in a concierge building. That would make things go so much more smoothly. Safety in numbers and all that. But then, I suppose Jenna wouldn't have come back here if there were people to document her comings and goings. Some concierges are good at keeping secrets. Others, not so much. If Jenna has found a way to defeat the coven, I have to know. Their warning to me at the bed and breakfast was unsettling. I was tempted to tell my father, but I want to handle this on my own. I think he'll be proud of me. Sabino si. We'll see. A young woman comes out, and when I try to go into the building, she blocks the entrance.
Can I help you?
She asks, looking me up and down. I'm just here to see Jenna. She lives in 8N.
So you don't live here? I can't let you in.
I can't believe this. How rude! She lets in these two young men wearing white tank tops and baggy jeans and gold chains. Each has a diamond stud in one ear. At least it looks like a diamond. I don't know. I will not point out their race because it's not really relevant, really, but, you know. She frowns.
Racist bitch.
Look, I don't want to cry white lady tears, but I'm a human being. Luckily, I have tissues in my clutch. I take a look around as I blow my nose. A lot of scaffolding, Brooklyn construction boom, you know. A mix of bars and industrial warehousing. You know, I'm surprised Victor would want to live here. Feels depressing. Feels like threatening, even in the morning. And now that I'm thinking about it, why would Jenna take all that money from Great Uncle Felix's ghost? Oh God, that sounds ridiculous. Only to come home.
Realm presents If I Go Missing, The Witches Did It, Episode 8.
I call an Uber. 5 minutes? Where's it coming from? Siberia? My blood sugar must be low. I'm feeling very complainy. I'll go to the bodega on the corner. If I remember correctly from Jenna's recordings, the gentleman who works at the counter there is named Abdul. I remember Victor responding to Jenna's mention of Abdul in the recording, immediately having a craving for a chopped cheese. Apparently, it's a chopped up cheeseburger. I don't understand. I put a bag of baked potato chips on the counter. The man I assume is Abdul slaps a smile over his confused expression. I don't belong here.
Anything else, miss?
No, thank you, Abdul. I say, handing him my credit card.
There's a $5 minimum on cards.
Okay. I must have seemed in distress because he added that I could have the chips for free. Thank you, Abdul. I say, hand over heart. My name is Elise Edgerton. I'm a friend of Victor and Jenna's. You haven't seen Jenna around here lately, have you?
No, miss.
Okay, thanks, I say and rush out. My Uber's here. I'll regroup in Manhattan.
Log, September 12th. When I heard my name come out of that woman's mouth, I started paying attention. I could hear her from the back. Elise Edgerton. White woman talking loudly to Kaleem as though he wouldn't understand English if she didn't raise her voice.
No, miss.
I pulled back the curtain that hides the back room where I'm staying. After she left, I told Kaleem she was no friend of mine. He said he could tell that right away.
But you may have a cosmic connection. Or at the very least, you could use an ally.
Kaleem has been a lifesaver. When I came back to Brooklyn a couple weeks ago to pick up some things from the apartment, I went into the bodega to leave a note for Kaleem to give to Victor. When Kaleem saw the scar I had on my shin from when I fell off the bike after seeing Colonial Jenna, it was glowing to him. The scar was in the shape of a star and moon. The magic neither of us knew was in me before had been activated. He hustled me into the bodega and said a few phrases to me, none of which I understood.
This is going to sound insane.
He started, but before he could get another word out, I said, I'm being hunted by an influencer coven. Anticipating a bunch of questions, I explained that a bunch of social media influencers who use magic to make themselves more popular and grow their businesses were after me.
Prosperity witches.
He said casually, like everybody knows about the different categories of witches.
They've been around since the beginning of magic. First, it was thrown bones to make sure your hunter came back with the most meat. Then it was salt, then it was gold, and so on. Thanks to feminism, more female witches sought prosperity for themselves and not a partner. These social media prosperity witches seem to bring wealth to themselves by bringing it to other people, like restaurant owners or corporate brands.
Are you a witch sociologist or something?
No. My family's been keeping knowledge of magic for thousands of years. I will admit that I use a little prosperity magic to keep this bodega going. Being a keeper of magical knowledge doesn't pay at all.
I gave him the rundown on Brooke, Carmen, Mommy, Megan, and Bibi. How I clash with them and how Carmen seemed to be the strongest, but let Brooke be the leader.
From what you tell me, you haven't interacted one-on-one with Brooke that much. With all Carmen has done to you, Brooke would probably have done worse.
I don't know what they need Mommy Megan and Bibi for.
There's strength in numbers, and the two lesser witches may have powers that complement the other two. They may have sensed your natural ability. I wonder if Megan used the Gossip Stopper spell to test your power.
I told him about Colonial Jenna, the book of spells I found by the Hanging Oak, and Great Uncle Felix. He took notes and only left me alone whenever a customer came in. The little feeling spell on Victor worked pretty early on, but my first real demonstration of power came after I wished on a couple of stars. I accidentally choked Divine and her clerk in the metaphysical store.
Makes sense. You are a celestial witch, so you use planetary and celestial energy in your spell work. And with your affinity for astrology, I'm going to put you in that subcategory of celestial witchcraft.
What does it mean to be in that subcategory?
In addition to heavenly bodies, you power your spells with the zodiac, astrology, and natal charts.
He said, suggesting I work with Mars in crafting my spells since I'm at war with witch bitches and also Jupiter, which is the planet of luck.
Maybe Saturn, too. Can help with revenge and protection.
He said, pulling books from the library he had in the cellar, right next to the boxes of products from the bodega.
You're lucky you're a natural witch. Otherwise, the coven would have done you in easily.
Apparently, magic runs in my family, or at least that's what Kaleem guessed. The kind of raw power I've demonstrated and the way I've been able to fight back against trained witches suggests that there must have been at least one witch in every generation.
In ancient times, we would have called you a magician, but the word has been co-opted by people doing tricks on a stage. When the elders classified someone as a witch, it indicated that they were more spiritually minded. Magicians generally weren't mystical. They just did their magic. The more you study the next few years, the more you'll be able to do on a much grander scale.
Study? I'm a grown-ass woman. You can't send me off to Hogwarts.
Independent study. With my help. Witches with your potential don't come along every day. You can help balance the scales between good and evil. Surely you can feel the world is tilted. Of course, the choice is all yours.
First, I have to kick some witch bitch ass. Then I'll think about joining Witches Without Borders. Then I handed him the book of spells I found by the hanging oak. He was so gentle with it that I acutely felt how rough I'd been.
Thank you for sharing this. I love looking at historical private grimoires, usually full of a bunch of love spells, which we need more of in this world, if you ask me. Working a love spell puts more love out in the world, even if these types of grimoires usually have the wrong math or have aspects of the spell that work against each other. Looks like this one was written by someone with an affinity for celestial magic, like you.
A black and white cat I'd never seen before walked between my legs, rubbing itself against me. Kaleem said she never took to being a bodega cat. Her name means knowledge in Arabic. Kaleem told me the name, but I couldn't pronounce it. She stays with the books.
Look at that. A Deducere Lunam spell.
He said, still perusing the book, grimoire I had found. Plain English, please.
It was known in ancient Greece and Rome as the Thessalian trick, which is pulling the moon down from the sky. And on the very next page, there's a spell for making more potent lunar slime by negotiating with the moon's guardian spirits. Lunar spirits are very demanding.
Ew, slime? Gross.
Lunar slime is one of the most important materia magica around. Right up there with iron and menstrual blood.
Ah, so materia magica is just nasty.
Fine. Lunar slime is also known as moon water. And I will not get into the politics of menstrual blood. You can find the writings of feminist magicians in the middle stack of books over there.
Even though Kaleem said he would cast a protection spell for me and an invisibility spell, I didn't feel comfortable staying in my apartment. By the way, it's a lot less fun to know that the invisibility spell doesn't turn you invisible. It just makes people not notice you as much. I asked him to do a spell that would make Victor and my mom mellow out if they ever got too worried about me.
And I will create a cloud of confusion for people who try to use a locator spell to find you. Though it seems the prosperity witches just wanted to scare you so that you wouldn't write about them.
Sleeping on the foldable bed in the library downstairs is starting to hurt my back. I would probably have moved back into the apartment if that woman Elise hadn't showed up. She mentioned Victor. I wonder how he's doing. I figured it was best to not let him know where I was. I almost fucked up by having one of these recordings about the magic I've learned and where I am backed up to the cloud. When I know how to give these witch bitches a magical beatdown, I can go back and hang out with Victor in Bedford. I miss him. I wonder how much time he's gonna want to be up there versus Greenpoint. Hey, Kaleem, why do you think Victor and I are stronger together? He's not a witch, is he?
No. Every celestial witch needs someone who grounds them. Earth and sky. Victor's a solid dude. Besides, you have astrogeological connections to the area. It all makes sense.
I've got to speed up my spell work.
If that Elise person can get this close to me, the coven can too.
I don't know why I didn't think of leaving Jenna a message in the notes section of her cloud. I still have the password info from Victor. Easy as pie. Well, not that easy. I did have to write several drafts so that I could get the message just right. Messaging is everything, you know? I don't want Jenna to happen upon some poorly arranged thoughts. She is a writer. In the end, I am satisfied with the simplicity of this message. Hi, Jenna. My name is Elise Edgerton. I'm a friend of Victor's. We went to undergrad together. I'm sure he mentioned me in passing. I've been working with him to try and find you. Well, I just wanted you to know that you can consider me a safe space and a sister in arms. I know about the C word, the influencer C word, to be clear. You can call or text me anytime at the number below. In solidarity, EE. I hope she responds soon. I'm on pins and needles. I wonder if I shouldn't have included some emojis? I was afraid it would make me seem inconsequential or... I don't know, but maybe it would have made me seem more approachable, you know? I can't add to it now. What if she's in the middle of reading the note and she sees me putting a smiley face in there? So I may as well just stop thinking about it. Stop thinking about it. Oh, I should have wished her well. Like, reading this now in solidarity sounds just, like, performative. I want her to know I'm a real ally, okay? Like, I should have just simply signed it Elise. She doesn't know I sign my notes EE with family and friends. She might think I'm trying too hard to be cool. Ugh, I could have spent so much more time on this. Okay, well, what's done is done. I need to finish my notes on Jenna's recordings. Okay, mid-August, right before she left.
You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Log, August 18th. Instead of being on the defense all the time, I started going on the offense. Little things, small and subtle, so that the coven won't realize that I'm responsible for what's been happening to them. The other day, I did a spell of attrition on Mommy Megan's Instagram followers. I feel sorry for her about custody of her kid and all, but she had no sympathy for me. I have dreams and needs and people to protect too. She didn't have to help me, but she didn't have to contribute to hurting me either. Besides, my spells have only been lasting for a couple days at a time. 4 days has been my record. Carmen had to throw out an entire shipment of brightening creams. I made sure that no one's skin was affected by the creams at all. They just weren't sealed properly at the factory. Bitch had it coming. Not just because she's being shitty to me, but because she's playing on people's colorism issues. Brightening is the code these beauty companies use for skin whitener. I tied BB's tongue for an Insta Live she was doing with one of her best-selling authors. I laughed and laughed,
watching clips of her forgetting her point, mispronouncing words, and screwing up her questions so badly, she had to go and get a pile of index cards with the questions written on them to read them properly. The author was not happy. Since everybody is always up Brooke's ass, I wrote an anti-enchantment spell for her. It didn't make anyone hate her outright. It just brought to the forefront the things that they already disliked about her, to the point that they felt compelled to tell her about it. When a reporter wrote a piece about her for an art magazine, he actually said that she had more social media followers than she did talent. I was able to base these spells off of the ones written in the old book that appeared outside the Hanging Oak when I tried to summon Colonial Jenna. Obviously, I couldn't find all the ingredients needed for the spells, like lizard necks. I mostly modified the words. That might be why the spells don't last that long. I called my mom and told her that somebody tried to put the root on me. She laughed and laughed and laughed until she started coughing.
People out there know about root work.
I asked her to find somebody who did real root work to see if they could help me with something. She said, and I quote,
"Trying to keep a man that way don't ever work out."
After I made it clear that I wasn't looking for help keeping Victor, she said she would see if any of her friends knew somebody.
I heard of this good psychic in Red Hook. If she ain't dead yet, she only speaks Spanish.
Bye, Mom. That woman. I knew I needed more help, though. That was confirmed this evening when I went into town to pick up the pepperoni pizza Victor ordered for us. I had been letting him go into town lately so I wouldn't run into any of the witch bitches. When I got back to the car, there was a note stuck under the windshield. The message was simple. "We know it was you." Then, underneath the words was a stencil of a pair of lips with one of those circles with the diagonal line going across it. It looked like the lips Megan drew on the toilet paper at Brooke's barbecue. They were silencing me. I crumpled up the paper and threw it away. I thought I was going to lose my physical voice, but I didn't. I was pretty proud of myself and my protection skills, but I was wrong. When I tried to work on my book about the undercover evil and uselessness of these influencers just now, I failed. Anytime I tried to type, it hurt like hell. If I tried to write with a pen, my hand cramped. If I thought about the book creatively, my head hurt. If I tried dictation, my throat hurt. The only way I could make this recording was to steal a little holy water from the local Catholic church to make some tea with lots of raw honey from it. I'm so tired, and if I'm being real, scared, for me and Victor. I can keep fighting these witches, but it's getting to the point where I'm questioning if this book is even worth it.
The artwork on the ceiling at Grand Central is almost worth having to wade through the crowds to take the subway home. Almost. Today, it totally is. I'm gonna call this fate. I'm a few rows behind a girl I'm pretty sure is Jenna. A woman, not a girl. The train was going to Bedford and I just hopped on because I saw Jenna. I mean, I'm pretty sure. I'm a little afraid to go up to her because she never replied to my note. But I understand not everyone uses the notes app, so perfectly fine. Jenna looks good, confident, you know? I should go now before someone sits next to her. Okay, now or never, Elise. Go, 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 go. This is the moment we've been waiting for. Even though we've never met, I'm sure Jenna and I will share an affinity for each other. Breathe. For God's sake, Elise, she's not a rock star. If you could keep your cool while sitting across the table from Taylor Swift at the benefit for that children's hospital, you can sit next to Jenna Clayton. Come on. Okay, here we go. We're walking. We're walking. Legs are working. We are sitting down. The eagle has landed. Yow! The eagle is gonna throw up! No, no! Get it together! Hi, Jenna. I say quietly. She looks me up and down, one eyebrow arched. I clear my throat and try again. Hi, Jenna. It's me. Elise.
Ugh.
You're listening to If I Go Missing, The Witches Did It, starring Gabourey Sidibe. Created and produced by Realm, your portal to another world. Listen away.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And, spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's H-Y-P-E-R-T-H-E-T-I-C-A-L.
If I Go Missing, The Witches Did It is executive produced by and stars Gabourey Sidibe. Written by Pia Wilson and produced by Rhoda Bayessa and Haley Wagreich. Associate produced by Michael Coulter and executive produced by Molly Barton. Performed by Gabourey Sidibe, Sarah Natacheny, Aaron Landon, Lena Klingeman, Tony D, Alba Ponce de Leon, Tiana Camacho, Jordan Belsky, Eli Gonzalez, and Andrew Lee. Directed by Kaylin West and Amanda Rose Smith. Sound design by Fred Greenhalge and Carter Wogan of Dagaz Media. Audio engineered by Corey Barton. Original theme music by Hashem Asadolahi. Cover art by Kendall Thomas with original illustration by Rochelle Baker.